Welcome to Documentary First, an inside look at a first-time filmmaker's journey, which is not what this is. It is an inside look at a documentary filmmaker's journey. See, we changed the title recently and I keep forgetting. So anyway, and Jason and Josh are not here today because I am in Mississippi with Tomas and Flavi, and we are traveling through the US, and Jason and Josh are kind of off today. So we figured that we would do this, just the three of us, and talk about kind of what's been going on in the last week. So I'm going to start with a quick update. As you can see and hear, Tomas Poisson and Flavi Poisson are here with me today. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello, everyone.
So Tomas and Flavi, why don't you tell me a little bit about when you got here and, you know, what's been happening since you got here?
Yeah, so we arrived in the States on the 16th of January to stay during 6 weeks. So we are on vacation and we arrived at Christian House. And then we traveled during 2 weeks in Denver. So we crossed Iowa, Nebraska, and then we came back taking Route 66 through Amarillo, Joplin, Oklahoma City, and that's it.
It was a lot of fun.
What was your most interesting experience?
Probably Texas, because it was my first time in Texas. It was not the first time for Flavi in Texas, but it was my first time and it's totally different. There is the US, there is New York City, and there is Texas.
Texans will be absolutely happy to hear you say that because that is completely true. Yeah, I mean, every year, Tomas and Flavi like to come in their off season. They are tour guides in Normandy. In fact, they run a company called Normandy Discovery Tours. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in going to Normandy with a tour guide, I highly recommend Normandy Discovery Tours. You can find them at, what's your website, Tomas?
So our website, you can find us directly on Google as Normandy with the Y, I mean, all in English, Normandy Discovery Tours. We have also social media, Instagram and Facebook, and it will be a pleasure for us to receive your reservation.
Yeah, and our website is normandydiscoverytours.com.
And what is, you know, tell me one of the special things that you do on your tours.
So we have different tours. We have the tours with a van, so we can visit different places, especially in the American sector. I mean, Utah Beach and Omaha Beach. But our specialty is the Jeep tour. So we have a World War II Jeep. And so we can do a different kind of tour around Sainte Marie Église with the World War II Jeep. So we have different Jeeps and we can pick a like 6 person in total, so a group of 6 person to do a tour during 1 hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, or a full day tour if you are very interested.
What works? Yeah, so tell us how much it costs, Flavi, to do a full day tour.
It depends if you are in a van or in a Jeep. So if you're with a van and that will pick you up around 40 ans or by you, it will be for 4 people, 460 euros. But it depends if we pick you up in 40 ans, if you're 8 people. So they are very personalized tools. So don't hesitate to write to us and we can send you a quote about this.
Yeah.
The medium tour for 2 hours, and 3 people, because we can be only 4 person in the Jeep. So the driver and guide, and so 3 other people. So it's 150 euros for the group for 2 hours tour. So we pick up you directly in Sainte Marie Église. We go to Utah Beach and we will discover different monuments about World War II, especially about D-Day and about the paratroopers of the 101st. Airborne Division.
Yeah, and I have to say, I did a little mini tour, super short, back in December. And if you were a Patreon subscriber, you are going to be able to see a little taste of that. We have put together about a 10-minute video, thanks to Mindy Cook. We have put together a little video when my husband Jeremy and Tomas, we were on a Jeep tour, and it'll give you a taste of what that experience was like. So it's definitely a great value for the money. And so if you're interested, you should certainly reach out to them and they will customize a tour for you. So I didn't mean to be a commercial for Normandy Discovery Tours, but I highly, highly recommend that. So let's talk about, let me give you a film update. Let's talk about what we've been doing at The Girl Who Wore Freedom. one of the most exciting things is after Thomas and Flavie came, my renovation has continued. They have been living in a construction zone. So I thank you guys for your patience with that. But the thing that was most exciting last week was that my voiceover booth was finished, almost, but finished enough to be able to record things. And the very first thing that I recorded in that booth was Thomas wanted me to record something for a project that he's doing in Carentan for the 78th D-Day, which is coming up this June. So Thomas, why don't you tell us a little bit about that project and what I was recording?
Sure. So every June commemoration, so I mean D-Day commemoration in Normandy, there is some jump organized by different association, and I'm a member of one association, so it's Round Canopy Parachuting Team. And so for that association, so we organize different animation during the jump, before the jump, and after the jump. And so this year I will have the pleasure to be a speaker with another person named Gaëtan Duguay. So he's on the Instagram page D-Day Live, and so that's with his association D-Day Live. We organized the animation for the jump association. So on the Friday, it will be on Friday 3rd.
June 3rd,
I'm sorry. So at during all the day, all day long, so we'll have different animation during the jump, and especially the story of Carentan. So it will be 3 episodes. So we will explain all the story of Carentan liberation and also what happened on Purple Haute Lane. So the Purple Haute Lane is a road at north of Carentan, named like that by American veterans during the combat. So Purple Haute is in reference of the medal of the wounded and killed in action soldiers. So, and with Christian, we had the pleasure so we had to record that in French and in English. So, and during December, I think it was in December, I asked you if you were interested to record that in English for that animation. And you say,
absolutely, anything you need. Now, when you say animation, what do you mean by that?
So there will be like a quiz for people, animation with the, you know, public.
You mean interaction?
Interaction, absolutely.
I was like, are we doing, it's animation for us in the US is like a cartoon.
Okay, no.
But I think what you're saying is there's going to be a live experience where you and Gaëtan are going to be talking to people, telling. Is it Gaëtan?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, where you're going to be talking about the Battle of Carentan, you're going to be asking quiz for people, you know, if they know about the D-Day,
yep.
And you're just entertaining absolutely. All of the people on Purple Heart Lane.
Yeah.
And so you're going to be doing it in French primarily.
Yeah.
You can also do English sometimes.
Yep. Translate.
But you're going to be doing the French version of the Battle of Carentan.
Absolutely.
And then I will do my like voiceover will do the English version.
Absolutely.
But I'll also be there in person, I think,
yep.
to talk to people. So yeah, that's on Purple Heart Lane. So we recorded that and that only took us a few minutes, right?
Mm-hmm. Only a few minutes?
Only a few minutes. Maybe more like 3 hours.
3 hours.
Yeah, it was quite the experience. Thomas was a good director, so we did get that done, but he got an experience to feel like of what it was like to direct an actor. And what was that like for you?
It was very interesting because that's not my job, and also I was with a professional record voiceover, so it was very easy to directing.
You did a great job directing. Actually, you come to it very naturally. So yeah, we accomplished that. If you go to D-Day, you're on June 3rd. You're on Purple Heart Lane. You will hear Thomas and I talk about the Battle of Carentan
and the Girl War Freedom.
And the Girl Who Wore Freedom. Absolutely. So so then that was our first recording. However, in our second recording in my booth, I'm proud to say we recorded something for the Girl Who Wore Freedom. And that leads me into a little bit of an update because I don't think I've really explained. We're basically having to revise the film like a lot in that we have been asked to screen in Normandy at the World War II Normandy Film Festival on June 5th. And they asked us to do a French version because a large part of the audience is French. So what we decided to do, because there's some people that are American, we decided to do a dual language version. So in this version of the film, all of the English will be subtitled in French and all of the French will be subtitled in English. So the entire film will be subtitled, except in the very beginning, we have a slide and it's a disclaimer that basically says, even though all of the people in our film are talking about Americans, we recognize that Americans were not the only ones who liberated Normandy or Europe. And we wanted to explain that we understood that the freedom of Normandy, the freedom of Europe was due to all the Allies, not just the Americans. But our story focuses on the Americans because the people that we interview were in the American sector. So that's where the 82nd Airborne and the 101st Airborne kind of landed. And then you had the 4th Infantry Division and, you know, so on and so on, the 90th. And so it's mostly Americans that were in their area. And so we have already text there for people to read. And so we didn't want to put two, you know, slides, one in English and one in French. So my editor, Bill Ebel, came up with a great idea, which was to have Thomas do it in French. So as people are reading it in English, your voiceover will be reading it in French. And so what did you feel like being a voiceover talent? Because now the tables are turned.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was not very easy
yes.
Because it's not just read a text. You have to respect the time. You have to read it with a good voice and very clearly. And so everything has to be, you know, real in your head. So I don't know, it makes sense, but it makes sense for me.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It is not easy. It's never easy. Not yeah. Even if you've done the job, is it easy? So,
but it was a good experience, and you became my director at that time.
So. Yeah, I was the director then, so that was yeah. Good. So you watched that whole process, Flavie. What was your impression about, you know, what that was like?
Well, it was funny to see how your new booth was working, because we were there in 2020 and your booth was all different, and we had the experience to test it as well. So yeah, it was funny to see Thomas working, and I mean, he was very in his mind and moving his like concentrated, and so that was so neat to see.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Before, my booth was like a genie tent in a tiny little office, and now my booth is a real fleshed out professional voiceover booth with a window in there where you could see, and you can there's a TV monitor in there, so we have, you know, it's great state-of-the-art booth. And it's true, when you do voiceover, you have to imagine you have to put yourself in the environment. You also have to move your body, because voiceover, if you're just standing still and like a robot, it comes out in your voice. If you're moving your body, we talk with our hands, just like I'm talking now, your voice is more interesting to listen to and you feel the emotion there. So, yeah, it was interesting. Mm-hmm. You recorded some of him doing this, didn't you? Did it make it onto Instagram or Facebook yet?
No, not yet.
Ah, you should not put it yet. Up there.
Surprise.
And then, yeah, they can see it. So yeah, so that's what we did last week, was we sort of revised that. And then I've been working with Bill Ebel and Michelle Coupe as we're going through all the subtitles to make sure that they work and that they are, you know, meaning what they're supposed to be meaning. So, yeah, we've been hard at work trying to get that done, because I have to get a master made and made into a DCP file and sent to France so they can test it out and make sure it works before D-Day. So we've been busy doing that. And then as soon as that was done, we left on a road trip, a good old fashioned American road trip. And while we're on this road trip, we are talking about our next project that we're doing. So we're working on a documentary series, you know, about the Battle of Carentan. And, you know, it tells the whole story. And now we've been working on this about 6 months. So we're talking about this series and we're working on it as we go. And we have a few meetings coming up that we're not going to talk about, but they're exciting. And we do hope that something comes from those, you know, in light of this little series. So on this trip, though, we have done some incredible things. Why don't you tell us a little bit, Flavie, about what you've seen and yeah. What your experience is like? Yeah.
So the two meetings to start were will be, I mean, in New Orleans at the World Tour Museum, and there is another one that will be the show of show in Kentucky. So we had those two places where we had to go. And so then we organized the road trip around those two meetings. And so we started to go directly in Memphis to visit Graceland, to visit the museum of Elvis Presley as well. And the day after, I'm already forgetting.
No, it's all one day. We did Graceland.
Yeah.
And then we did
the
Beale Street.
Beale Street.
So we went to Memphis downtown to see a Beale Street.
Yeah.
So it was totally incredible. So that we've been just one time to Tennessee, but we never stopped to Memphis. So it was for us the first time in Graceland. And so we discovered so many things. We spent maybe 4 hours.
Yeah, 4 hours.
4 hours in Graceland Museum. So it was totally interesting. We had the VIP tour. It was so incredible. It's a very good museum, in fact. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a good museum too. And I did find the army story of Elvis quite interesting because he was after World War II, but there were sustainment situations happening in Germany. So he was part of those sustainment operations around 1956, something like that. 56 to 58. Or 60, is it?
Not 56.
So anyway, he was there in the army and then he was stationed in Germany. So I found that fascinating. And I feel like his career was pre-army time and post-army time. It was like two separate careers, really. And yeah, so we learned a lot of history, which of course we all really like.
It was very interesting to see his plays and where he used to see back his daughter, Lisa Marie, and his wife after his concert. So yeah, that was very
interesting.
And also a place very interesting was the place where all the suit of Elvis, but also of all the singer and people
influenced
by Elvis. So this was very, very interesting. Very interesting to see. And as well, the house, house was totally crazy.
And I discovered that they like blues music and barbecue. We then went to the Germantown Commissary. So that whole Memphis experience was amazing. And then we went to Oxford, Mississippi.
Yep,
they're all, Flavie's wearing her University of Mississippi shirt. Tomas wearing his University of Mississippi sweatshirt. I've indoctrinated them. It's awesome. My family loved it. And we did tour around the square in Oxford, which is just this beautiful historic southern square. And then from there, we ate Mexican food and we saw a baseball game.
Absolutely.
So they never really had a lot of Mexican over in France.
No, we don't have.
We like it a lot.
Yeah,
we enjoyed it.
And then after that, we came to Jackson, Mississippi, which is where we are today. Mm-hmm. A very different culture. We're spending time with my dad and James Mason. He has been on the podcast before and we're staying with him. He's got great hospitality here. And then I'll let you take over. Where are we going next?
So tonight we're going to Laurel, stay 1 or 2 days, and then we're going to New Orleans for 3 days and visit a plantation.
Yes.
Then we're going to the World War II Museum because the three of us have a meeting there, and we have to visit the museum as well. We've never been to this museum, Thomas and I. You've already been.
I've been, yes.
It's a big one, so we'll have plenty of things to see. We're going to hang out in the evening in the city center. I'm in the French district.
Yeah, it's called Jackson Square. We're going to go to Café Dumont. We're going to see Jackson Square and all the artists. And we're going to go antique shopping.
Yeah, of course.
They love antique shopping in the U.S. You forgot one important thing. In Laurel, we're going to learn more about John Lau.
Yes.
Now, John Lau is, we're doing research for The Brave Dutch. That's another series that we're working on. And Thomas is going to be playing John Lau. So it's going to be good for you to learn where he lived and what he did.
Yeah, absolutely. Because a few months ago, I went with Christian in Netherlands during a month to discover what would happen for John Lau during the war. We've seen so many incredible things in Apeldoorn, especially. It was totally incredible. And now the moment has come to discover his civilian life.
Yeah, his American life.
His American life, yes. Yeah. So it will be, very nice to see. So we already met Gianlo.
Grandson, that's right. Grandson. We left that out. We met Reese Lau in Oxford. That's he lives there. I mean, I know it sounds like we're having a big fun trip, but there is work intertwined. And one of those was meeting Reese Lau Jr. because Reese wrote the original script for the Brave Dutch podcast, and he is the grandson of John Lau. So he gave us some family history and talked about things. Yep. So that was great. Now you've met Reese Lau Jr., the grandson of John Lau, and you've met Lucy Lau, his daughter. So absolutely. Yeah, that's great. So that's what's happening in Laurel. And then after New Orleans, we're going to go to, what did you want to see in Alabama?
The USS Alabama for sure.
Yeah.
So in Mobile, Alabama. So I don't know. What is exactly?
It's a big ship.
Big ship, but I mean, I think it will be very interesting.
Yep,
so I've been to a submarine in Cherbourg for sure, because we have a submarine museum in Cherbourg, Normandy. But now it will be an American battleship.
Yeah. Yep. So we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to visit Orange Beach and actually go over to Perdido Key so you guys can get Florida in. They're up to a bunch of states. I think maybe by the time we're done, it'll be 27, 28, something like that.
I think at
28
the end,
and 28
for Flavian, 25 for.
Yes.
Okay. You got some catching up to do tomorrow.
There's a competition.
Yeah. So we're going to do that in Florida. Then we're going to go up to Nashville and we're going to see Savannah Woods and Lindy Hart, who was our set medic. And Savannah was with us in Normandy as well. And Mindy Cook, who is working on our team currently along with Savannah. So that's going to be a little bit more work stuff in Nashville, but also a lot of fun. Then we go to the shows, which is a big, huge military convention in Louisville, Kentucky. We're going to see Flo Plana, Myra Miller, Joey Van Mason, and I don't know who else, but a lot of our team will come together there, see each other, find World War II stuff, talk about our other plans and stuff like that. So it's going to be great.
Enjoy the last days because it will be the end for us.
It will be the end. You're flying back the next day to France. Yep. All right, so this brings us to our new segment, Deja Vu, DocuView. DocuView Deja. Okay, everybody, so this is our new segment. It's where we talk about things that we recommend, like documentaries that we recommend. And we talked about this in advance. You don't really have an American documentary you can recommend, but you have something that's very, very close. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we're going to talk to you about a French series, which is called in French, Un Village Français, but it's called in English, A French Village. And we want to talk to you about it because it's our favorite series and you can watch it on Amazon Prime. So Thomas is going to explain you more about...
And the first season is free, by the way.
Yeah. You have to pay for the subsequent
after,
one?
After, yeah. Oh, but it's man. The same in French. You have to pay as well in French. So,
okay.
So.
At least Turnabout is fair play.
Yeah. So it's a French series. Yeah. The first season arrived on... 2009, and so everything is in France during World War II, and especially during the occupation. So the series began, June 1940, when the Germans arrived in France and the beginning of the occupation. And the last season is the end of the war, and also after, because we can see all the people that leave during the war.
We follow each character, and season after season, we meet another one, and I won't tell you the end, but we follow each character, and that's very interesting to see how people used to live under the occupation. And you know, sometimes people think, oh, I would have been a resistant, blah, 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 but no, you don't know. And thanks to this series, you can see that they had other circumstances around their life that made them be like this or like this. So that's very interesting.
Yeah. It's not a documentary, in fact. It's a series, but it's kind of...
Almost a documentary.
It's almost a documentary.
You guys say that it's very realistic.
Absolutely.
That it's a great realistic...
Politics, religion, war,
battle,
clothing, the sets,
clothing, or everything is totally real. I mean, all the people that did that, all the historical researcher did a very great job. Yeah,
and I will say, I started watching it with them last night. They wanted to share this with me because I've been sharing a lot of American media film with them, and they told me that I would really be able to learn French if I watched it in French with English subtitles. So that's one advantage. You could do the same if you're listening to this and you want to learn French. And they told me that it would give me a good understanding, a better understanding of what life was like in, you know, for French people before the war. And I do have to say it's true. It was good watching with them because I could ask them questions on the spot. That was really nice. There are some cultural things I would have missed if they weren't there. But the thing that did strike me, Flavie, was after the Germans came into this little town, there was a, you know, a rich merchant there that owned a lumber factory, and the Germans came in and asked him, would you do business with us? Absolutely. You know, can we buy lumber for you? And before this, the guy was having a lot of trouble paying his employees, and he was going to have to shut down because he didn't have enough money because of the occupation situation. And he also wasn't able to travel anywhere, and it was causing him a lot of problems. So the decision that he had to make was, do I work with the Germans and help them and then be able to receive money, pay for my family, pay for my employees, also be able to travel and see other people, or do I not work with them at all, possibly be shot, have my business taken over, not be able to care for the people that are working for me? And you can sit back as an armchair quarterback, that's what we call it here in the US, and say, well, if the Germans had come in, I would have done this or this or this. But it's a totally different situation when you're in the moment with all of the circumstances surrounding you.
And you have to think what people would think about you if you work for German. But at that moment, he was just thinking about his employers. They need
employees.
Employers need money and you know, to survive during the occupation. So he decided to work with the German. But you have to think that during the war, all the people that worked with the German during the so they will be a good help for some people during the war. So. Not, I mean, the underground. So,
yeah, it's such a complicated situation. Yeah. It's not as black and white as you would always think. So yeah, I mean, we spent enough time now talking about A French Village that I'm not going to give you something new this week. We will put a link there. It is on Amazon Prime. It's a great recommendation. And next week, we are still going to be traveling. So we'll try to talk about maybe what our meetings were like or what we've discovered since then. Thank you so much for listening to Documentary First. Thank you for supporting us. If you haven't joined us on Patreon, we'd really appreciate your support there. And then you will get to see what it's like to go on a tour with Thomas. If you are interested in traveling to France during this upcoming D-Day ceremonies, you'll find more information if you're a Patreon supporter. So consider joining us. We'd love to have you. All right, so that's it for us today. So thank you very much for listening to Documentary First, where everybody has a story to tell and you can be the one to tell it. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Documentary First. We really appreciate your partnership with us. We can't do any of this without you. So thank you for listening, donating, and following along on our journey. We are supported by generous donations from people just like you. To make a donation, visit thegirlwhowarefreedom.com or support us on Patreon at patreon.com/documentaryfirst. To learn more about our other works in progress, visit documentaryfirst.com or follow Documentary First on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. This podcast was produced by Documentary First, edited and mixed by Jason Hoban, with music by Jeff Kurtenacker.